Monsoon season can wreak havoc on your trees.
These trees are a travesty.
Shade in Arizona is prime real estate. Find out how to care for your trees. We're out in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service. Call 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
And if you're just so inclined, you'll also have the opportunity to learn straight from John on November 15th at a beautiful setting, the Desert Botanical Gardens. That's a Saturday, and you were very, very conscious that you didn't schedule this class during Rosie on the House. Good job, 2 to 5 p.m. Beautiful evening setting. Weather's got to be perfect.
Well, it's a great opportunity if you have trees and shrubs and you don't quite know how to handle them and you want to learn a little bit more about that philosophy of more, less is more, and how to care for those trees and shrubs. It's a three-hour class. It involves some a demonstration and kind of a hands-on clinic, and it's a great class. We've had a great we've been teaching the class there for about 5 years, and I always love to present it. And I think from the feedback we've had from our attendees, it's a really great investment of time to help you to go back into your yard and prune with a little more confidence.
You know, it's very easy to be a self-proclaimed pruning expert. You can get clippers just about anywhere. Hardware stores, box stores, every irrigation store. If you have a couple trees, you cut them a few times. Yeah, the more I learn about pruning, the more I realize I don't know anything about pruning. And I've been cutting trees. Dad's been, you know, slaving me cheap labor out since I was about five, taking care of the yard.
Yeah, that proliferation of pruning equipment is sometimes is scary because we know that it sometimes translates into some pretty poor pruning practices out in the yards, and we definitely discourage recreational pruning and not getting out there just for exercise or especially if you're not angry.
Go pull
too. You don't want to be angry with somebody and have a pair of loppers in your hands.
Pull the weeds if that's what you're going to
do.
Leave the tree alone.
There you go.
All right, let's
put a timer on.
Let's bring Greg into the conversation and see how we can help him. Greg, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, I've never been an owner or a fan of olive trees, but about a year ago, we bought a house with four large olive trees in the backyard. And they're actually pretty nice trees. The only complaint I have about them is I'm not sure what the proper term is, but I call them suckers, right along the bottom of the tree trunk, just above the ground. They tend to sprout out a lot of stuff that you have to go back and just continually chop off. Is there any way to keep that stuff from growing?
Well, you're doing what most people do, and that is to keep after those little shoots that come up from near the base of the tree. There are some chemicals, some growth hormonal kind of growth inhibitors that you can apply chemically. You might want to contact a company with a structural pest control license. They could maybe advise you on that. It's not a permanent control, but it does slow down their growth significantly for a period of time. Ed, do you know much more about those chemicals?
No, not really, except that you really want to have a professional apply them. These are plant hormones, growth regulators, and they can cause, properly applied, they're great. And if you get a little bit injudicious with them, you can have problems all over your yard. But the other thing is, don't wait till they get to be big suckers. You know, every time you go out there, they come out as little teeny leaves. Just rub them off with your thumb and stay ahead of it. If you see the older, mature olives in the community, you know, some people have pruned those into little hedges that are underneath the olive trees. But I understand what you're saying about the nuisance of it. That's absolutely true. It's a persistence thing.
Now, John, as a professional tree trimmer, where do you go, what college do you go to learn to turn an olive tree into a poodle?
Yeah, we see that happening pretty often around town. You'll see these
That's a sin.
Bonsai trees. Well, you know,
that's a sin.
It's interesting because, yeah, it does. It exposes a lot of the bark in the voids to too much sun, and it's usually a failed operation. But small-leafed trees do lend themselves to hedging. So, unfortunately, olives become the victim of that practice of kind of poodling your trees.
And Raymond Lopez of Scottsdale Weed Control for your area, Greg, would be a great person to call when you mentioned talking to a specialist. You can find him under trees at rosieonthehouse.com, as well as John Eisenhower, our guest here today of Integrity Tree Service, our host. Our guest here today, Edward Maureen Did I get that right? Molreen.
Molreen.
Heavy on the first syllable, you
My
said.
Dad be proud.
Of arid zone trees. Okay, I got it right this time. I said that in reverse. Let's bring Scott into the conversation, talk about a mesquite question. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Good morning. I've got a mature mesquite tree, and it has a split in the main trunk. The trunk is about 2.5 foot to 3 inches around, and then about 5 foot up, it branches off into the canopy, and it is split about 2 feet down the main trunk. And I had a landscaper come out and tell me that I could clamp that back together, and it would possibly grow back together. The tree is pretty close to my house, and I'm actually thinking about cutting it down. But it's a really nice-looking tree. Is there any way to save it?
Well, there is a process called bracing where we can drill through the two parts that have started to split apart and insert a piece of threaded rod. We usually use galvanized or stainless steel threaded rod and put nuts and washers on the outside, and we can put two or three of those braces through depending on the length of the crack. Of course, we need to get a come along sometimes and pull the two branches as close together as we can. The sooner after the split occurs that you do this operation, the better. While the wood is still pliable, if it's allowed to sit for
scab
a long
over.
Period of time, it's kind of hard to pull the two pieces back together. But we do cabling and bracing, and good certified arborists have been trained in how to do cabling and bracing. And it basically is lending mechanical support to an architectural weakness in a tree. It's not it's not something that you want to do a lot, but if you have a beautiful tree and you're trying to save it and extend its life, cabling and bracing is a great option.
If you'd like to join the conversation as we move through our calls, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Scott, you could get a hold of Integrity Tree Service by going to itreeservice.com or calling
602-788-0005, Monday through Friday.
Hal, welcome to the conversation. How can we help you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've got two Myers lemon bushes, about 6 foot by 4 foot round. And they're dropping little pods smaller than a BB. And then when I smash them, it's like green speckles.
When you smash them, it's like green speckles?
Yeah, they're round. But then when I smash them, they're green. And they're like, I want to say like pollen maybe. I don't know.
Well, you got me. You've kind of stumped the experts here.
Can we back up for just a second? How big is this tree?
The bush. It's a Myers lemon bush, and it's 6 feet tall by 4 foot round.
But how long has it been in the ground?
I want to say 15 years.
Oh, okay. Boy, got me.
It's producing these small, are they small fruits, you say? And
no, it's just droppings. I see it on the concrete, and then when I smash them, they break up into, like, powder.
You know, I don't really know what you're describing, but what would be great is if you could take a couple of digital photographs and shoot them to us through our website. I'd be glad to take a look at them and give you a shot back.
And make sure you get his address, Jennifer, because Hal just stumped us and won a Rosie gift bag. So get Hal back on the line, and he gets a Rosie gift bag.
We'll stay on fruit, talking pomegranate now with Christina. Welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I have a pomegranate tree. I don't know how long it's been in the ground. I've owned my house for 5 years, and I have yet to have a successful crop of pomegranates. When you open them up, half the seeds will be white, half will be red, or all the seeds will be white.
She's in the chicken coop.
I was going to say a dog's like
I think
right
that's
in her
a chicken
ear.
Coop.
Is that a chicken coop?
I Ooh. Think it's a chicken coop.
Maybe that's the problem.
What is the animal in the background that we're hearing?
We get them all, Ed. We get them all.
Well, so what do y'all think about the pomegranate?
Well, you know, I've got a pomegranate tree too, and the color and quality of the fruit is pretty inconsistent. I just opened up one of the fruits just yesterday, and this is a time of year when they're nice, they're ripe and ready to eat. The longer you can leave them on the tree in a healthy condition, the redder they will become. So you don't want to pick them too early. But I'm not really sure what the remedy is, other than to improve your cultural conditions, your consistent watering, and also occasional fertilization might help as well.
I think there's also a great peril that homeowners have of comparing the fruit they get off their trees at their house to the produce they buy at the store. You know, a lot of times if you look at a pomegranate at the grocery store, it's you know, commercially produced, it's fertilized at precisely the right times, this, that, and the other thing.
And they throw away the bad ones. I mean, they weed out a lot
exactly.
of them.
And so, you know, you have one of these at your house, and it's kind of red and it's kind of white. But really, the only time you're really interested in it is when you go harvest the fruit. You haven't really put much into it. So I think that's always a peril, too, is to think that you're going to produce commercial quality fruit at your house a lot of times.
Good luck, Christina. Let's bring Scott into the conversation down on South Mountain. Welcome, Scott.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, my girlfriend and I are concerned about a couple of fruit trees we planted about a year ago. They are the Santa Rosa plum and the Katy apricot. We got three trees, different ones, and these two seem to be the worst. Their leaves are kind of coming out yellow, light green, and they're getting real creaky. And we've been feeding them every 3 months. It's a combination of either a 13-6-6 or a 13-10-4. The rest of the trees, two of them we planted about 2 years ago, and they've caught the plum, and they're doing great. I'm just wondering if there's something that we're missing on that, if they need iron or...
We'll diagnose that right after this.